Coming up on 18 minutes past 10 o'clock, welcome to It Matters with Kelly Kortz. Jeff McMahon is my name. This is my last day on the air with you. Kelly should be back Monday. Partly cloudy skies, 64 degrees in St. Cloud. Let's start off our Friday with Tim Lammers and movie reviews brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Here's Tim Lammers.
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Very good. How are you?
I am wonderful. The summer movie season is wrapping up.
Yep, it is.
Kind of just, not much going on in late August and early September, though, with the movies. You know, everybody's, getting out, one last time, hopefully, at the Minnesota State Fair to have some fun there. And then the kids, going back to school. So the theaters are generally more empty this time of year. Still, we have a release called 3,000 Years of Longing, which I think would have been a better release for award season. I think it's that good of a movie, and it just seems sort of awkward in the same time frame as your Bullet Trains and your Top Gun Mavericks and all that kind of stuff.
Now, have you seen 7 Years of Longing?
3,000 Years of Longing.
3,000 Years of Longing. And it's
Let's add 2,900 years to that. And it's about a genie.
There we go.
It's a genie story. It stars Tilda Swinton as this literary scholar. She purposefully has lived her life in solitude. She travels the world. She likes to learn different stories around the globe about different cultures, et cetera. And she's in Turkey, and she buys this bottle, pops the cork off, unearths gin, a genie played by Idris Elba. He promises to grant her 3 wishes of anything her heart desires, and in return, of course, the genie will earn his freedom. But she is a very analytical person. She thinks that getting these wishes might do more harm than good. So she kind of stalls him off by learning his story. Why was he bottled up for 3,000 years? He was let loose and granted some wishes, but put back in the bottle, let loose again, put back in the bottle. So she wants to learn his story. So you get a lot of flashback stuff to some pretty amazing times, way back in history. So it's interesting, Jeff. 3,000 Years of Longing isn't really your average genie movie. It's really atmospheric. I mean, the acting is stellar. You can't go wrong with Tilda Swinton and Idris Elba.
I've been a big fan of Idris Elba. It seems like he can do nothing wrong.
No, he cannot. And he's so terrific in this. And then you put those two together with George Miller. Now, George Miller hasn't done a film since 2015 with Mad Max Fury Road. So this seems like an odd choice to follow it up with. But the guy is such of a terrific filmmaker. He's got such of a handle on the visuals of the movie and the story. It's complex, but it isn't confusing. It's just really thought-provoking, I guess. It's mesmerizing in a way. So I think the only problem with the movie is it's one of those films that just can't decide where it needs to end. So you see, and George Miller uses a lot of fades. So he'll do a scene, and it'll fade to black, and you're thinking, oh, it's done. No, there's more. And that goes on 3 or 4 more scenes. So, it has a problem deciding where it wants to end, but I think overall pretty decent movie.
Good, good. Now, I've only seen the trailers for it, and really the trailers sold it as a modern-day Aladdin for adults. And I kind of looked at the cast and I went, yeah, that seems to be underselling it just a smidge.
Yeah. Yeah, there are no songs. There's no A Whole New World or anything like that. You leave that up to Disney with their animated and their reboot with the persona non grata in Hollywood, Will Smith, back when he was in the good graces of Hollywood, Jeff.
No, don't worry. He'll come back. It is Will Smith, after all.
Here, the genie is, Idris Elba, it's just inventive. It's different, You think, okay, we've seen this tale before, 3 wishes of, it's like, how many times are you going to do this sort of thing? So leave it up to a guy like George Miller, who, in addition to these Mad Max films, he did Happy Feet, he's done different sorts of films than you would ever expect. So, the guy is very creative, and he really makes this an interesting film to watch.
Fascinating. And that's not the only, in terms of wide release theatrical movies, that's kind of what's dominating the landscape this weekend. But there is something coming to Amazon Prime, which I found interesting as well. It's a superhero film starring Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. I mean, he's been in superhero films before. Some of them haven't ended too well. You know, Judge Dredd was not well received.
Yeah, no.
But, you know,
it was also King Shark in
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he appeared, you know, because of that. I was, you know, he forged a great working relationship with James Gunn, appearing in the last Guardians of the Galaxy film. So, you know, not a big part. I think we can expect more of him. And yes, he really was wonderful doing the voice of King Shark in the Suicide Squad. So, yeah, I mean, doing a superhero film isn't exactly foreign to Sylvester Stallone. Here, it's more of a grittier take on the, you know, superhero tale. It's not a DC or a Marvel. There's nobody running around in costumes necessarily, although he was, you know, a superhero at one time named Samaritan. Now, this takes place in a fictional city called Granite City, where this 13-year-old boy suspects this garbage hauler named Joe Smith, played by Sylvester Stallone, is actually hiding in plain sight as Samaritan, this superhero savior of the city 25 years earlier. Well, 25 years earlier, he got into a battle with his brother turned adversary named Nemesis. Both of them were thought to have perished in this massive fire. However, there's just too many coincidences. And finally, when the boy witnesses Joe's superpowers, it's like, ha ha, you really aren't dead. So that attracts the attention of a bad guy named Cyrus, played by Pilou Aspect, who is in Game of Thrones. And he is a real bad dude. He naturally wants to take over the city, and he wants to unearth Nemesis. He has had a bunch of weapons he used that were, they had special powers. He wants to unearth them, you know, and really get a stranglehold on the city, and it's really up to Joe Smith to stop him. So, you know, it sounds like a basic plot, but there's a really cool twist in the movie, which I obviously won't spoil, but, you know, It really fits the bill. It's a superhero movie, but it's a different sort of superhero movie because it's more grounded in reality, has that gritty feel about it.
Right. I kind of go back to, well, persona non grata, Will Smith in a movie called Hancock. I like those types of movies where it's the superhero that has fallen from grace and doesn't really know where to fit in or how to fit into normal society. And then you know, that's an interesting rabbit hole to go down when you're deluged with the Marvel and the DC superheroes, which are always going to be superheroes, and they get to be a little melodramatic at times.
Yeah. I mean, this one really is set in real-world circumstances, a setting, I should say, and the circumstances are of such. I mean, they live in this crime-infested city. It's getting worse by the day. The city needs a superhero like Samaritan to really restore order once again. So, you know, it does feel real. I mean, these things you see going on, you know, in footage in the film, is kind of like, oh, this is frighteningly real stuff. It really does have a more of a modern feel. And you know, speaking of Marvel, it's interesting because, again, yes, we have tragic circumstances that happen in Marvel films and DC films, et cetera. But for the most part, yeah, they're I don't want to say fluff, but they're comic book, right?
Well, they're melodramatic in that the heroes are always going to be heroes, and they're always going to do the right thing, and the villains are always going to be villains, and they're always going to do the wrong thing. The heroes will always win, and the villains will always lose. Even when you look at, like, Endgame and Thanos and this evil arch-villain, we knew at the end of the series that Thanos was going to lose and the Avengers were going to win.
Yeah.
It's just melodramatic in that instance.
Yeah, and this is the closest thing to this as far as Marvel is concerned, and I suspect it's going to change, is that if you ever caught any of the Netflix Marvel series like Daredevil or Jessica Jones or Luke Cage or Iron Fist. I mean, those were grittier. In particular, you know, the first three that I mentioned. You know, it started off with Daredevil. Now he's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He, you know, showed up in Spider-Man Far From Home. or No Way Home, excuse me. And he's going to be part of the new She-Hulk series. So
I don't know
if they're going to sanitize him or not there, Jeff. But
because I've seen the parts of the She-Hulk series.
We only have this Samaritan that's really existing in that sort of world.
I've seen parts of the She-Hulk series, and that seems to be kind of a more squeaky clean type world, even though she is an attorney.
Squeaky clean, and it's really got a goofier, lighter tone, a lot more comedy.
Which is what they needed.
And that's the interesting thing about these Marvel series on Disney Plus. They seem kind of inconsistent in tones. I mean, you get a Moon Knight. That's darker.
That was a deep dive. It really was.
Yeah, and then you have this on the flip side. And I wouldn't say in between, but also on the lighter side, you had Ms. Marvel recently, and I really enjoyed that. I think that's because it reminded me of the first Spider-Man movie, Homecoming. You know, it just had that light, you know, it's teen characters and that lighter feel and very creative visually and stuff. But yeah.
Well, I've always liked that type of a movie where a regular character gets their superheroes, and then now what are they going to do with them? It lets you kind of imagine, all right, if I got superheroes, what would I do with them? So I've always liked the Spider-Mans, and I liked the Ms. Marvels, the She-Hulks. You know, okay, you suddenly just get these powers. Well, now what are you going to do? I like that.
Yeah.
I like that type.
Yeah,
Shazam is another one. Shazam was another one that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I can't wait for that. Fury of the Gods, Shazam 2, is going to be coming out as well. So
it looks fun. So 3,000 Years of Longing, which is a deeper, more visually, from what you say, visually stunning adult genie-type film.